Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and listen to the words it uses. When the enemy shall come in, it's not a matter of if, but when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I want to preach on the subject checkmate. Checkmate. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them God's working for you. The devil's working against you, but we know who's going to win. You may be seated. I'm not naive to the fact that while I stand on this platform and I say that I'm living my best life now, that there are people that are fighting for their life, fighting for their marriage, fighting for their children, fighting for their future. I want to see the hands of somebody who says, Pastor Brandon, I need you to preach a word today because it feels like all hell is against me. Just raise your hand. There's about, well, a lot of hands, probably 25, 30, 40, 50 hands. Well, I believe that God's going to speak something to you that is going to encourage you and remind you whose you are and who he is. I believe that God is going to share a word in your heart, in your spirit today, that is going to cause you to rise up and to fight back and to clap back and to talk back and to snap back. And so I want you to take notes, but more than taking notes on the piece of paper or on your iPad or your smartphone, I want you to write it on the tablets of your heart, on the pliable part of you. I want you to get it in your spirit because I believe that God is getting ready to raise a standard against the enemy. But we have to be cognizant of the wiles of the devil, of the strategies of the adversary. Let's just start by saying this. If you don't know you're in a war, you're losing. Every day you wake up, there's a God that wants to bless you. There's a devil that wants to kill you. And when you understand that there's a God out there that's doing his best to get you the promises of his word, but then there's an adversary doing his best to take everything away, then you start making decisions that are going to either propel you or keep you where you are. John 10 and 10 says, the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Can I encourage the church, the verses that you hear repeated a lot or that you've heard hundreds or perhaps thousands of times in your life, do not grow numb to them. Do not grow callous to them. The whole reason Jesus came, he said, was to seek and save that which is lost. And when he finds the lost, he said, I've come to give you life that is eternal, that is above us, and abundant life that is here on earth. That means every part of your life, Jesus wants to invade with the goodness of God. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we know that Jesus comes to give, to resurrect, and create. When you understand that there are things going on around you and things that are happening to you, you've got to be able to step back and say, is this the devil or is this God? A lot of times it's very simple to do that, but many times it is difficult to do that. There are three types of things, or we could even say people, that happen in our lives. Number one is easy, bad things. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to faith-filled people. Bad things happen to spirit-filled people. Bad things happen to tithers. Bad things happen to those that serve here at the local church many hours a week. I know a lot of good people that have bad things happen to them. Then the second thing or people that happen are good things. Now, when we look at good things, we automatically get excited. But the third thing is what you really need in your life. It's God things or God people. So it's very easy to look at things in our life or events or people that are happening, coming into our lives. It's pretty easy most of the time to be able to label them as, this is going to be bad for me. And then it's very easy sometimes to say, this is a God thing. God orchestrated. God brought this person into my life. God made this happen. There's a family here that has been in the over, living in the overflow of God, and about every 60 days, they're stopping myself and Bishop and messaging us, letting us know of what God is doing in their life, in their job, in their money, in their family. And I'm so excited about that because it is God things. When they tell you the backstory to these things, it is God things happening. But one of the things the enemy loves to send is good things. Because just because it's good does not mean it's God. And a lot of times it's what we call good that sets up residence in our life. And good things can steal, kill, and destroy. Remember, the devil doesn't always show up with a pitchfork and a red jumpsuit and a pointy tail. Sometimes the devil shows up with a job offer in another city making twice as much. Sometimes the devil shows up as the opposite sex, just the right figure, just the right weight, just the right face. Sometimes the devil shows up in church. Sometimes the devil likes to sit on your row. Sometimes he likes to accost you in the parking lot. And you say, behold, I found a good thing. No, the Bible, God calls good, good. But the devil can make things that are bad look good. Come on, that piece of chocolate cake looks good. But it's not good. It's good for a moment. Even the Bible would say, church, that sin is pleasurable for a season. So we have to be able to look at things and put them in one of three categories. This is from the adversary and it's bad. This is from God and it's a God thing. But then we've got to be able to take the good things in life and move them on one side of that line or the other and say, this is a good thing sent by the adversary. And if I let it take habitation in my life, this good thing is actually going to end up being a bad thing. There are relationships in our lives that start off as good. But if we knew how they were going to end, we would have never said yes to join relationship and covenant with that person. There are jobs that we thought were good, but little did we know that 2 years into that job, we were going to meet somebody at that job that was going to tear our marriages apart. That was going to steal from us, rob from us, introduce us to a substance, introduce us to something that God delivered us from, and we fall right back into it, something that was good, but it was not God. And so we've got to make sure that everything that comes into our life, we're able to decipher very, very quickly. This is a bad thing from the adversary, or this is a good thing from God. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? Man, I'm glad you asked that. How to determine whether it's bad, good, or God? Number one, the Holy Ghost. You and I must have the Holy Ghost. 49 young people refilled, double dose. 13 young people filled for the very first time, like Acts 2. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. We had been talking a little bit about it, and there was a kid from Dallas on my right-hand side that he began to shake, and he began to quake, and before anybody could ever put their hands on him, he started, it was a powerful expression, and I was able to teach just for a couple moments before everybody else was filled and just tell them, remember, tongues is the symbol, but the power of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Ghost is so that you can do things that you could not do before. The power of speaking in tongues is so that you can be instructed and guided and advised by the Spirit what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, where we're supposed to go. See, the Holy Ghost is more than me making a scene on Sunday morning. The Holy Ghost is for me on Monday afternoon in a business meeting to say, easy, Brandon, proceed with caution. There's some snakes in the room. Get out of this room. For you singles out there, the Holy Ghost is not going to be your friend on Tinder. Maybe on Christian Mingle or on Farmers Only Meet or where Ebony's Meet. I don't know where you're at. But the Holy Ghost will tell you, keep going, keep it moving. Because why? The Holy Ghost is already in 2020. and 2025. He knows how this is going to end. He knows exactly what God created for you and when it's going to be coming to you. And so if we can listen to the Holy Ghost, John 16:13 says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Have you ever gone to a city or a vacation spot, destination, that you did not know much about, but you found a local that knew all the good eating spots? Mandy and I went to Hawaii for our honeymoon back 16 years ago, and we ran into a local named Gary. Now, Gary was awesome because Gary took a liking to us, and Gary gave us a lot of preferential treatment that he didn't give to all of the other guests. And so Gary would tell us places to go. He would tell us where the white sand beaches are. And so Mandy and I were able to go to beaches where I'm talking about they were as far as you could see, and there was only a handful, 15, 20 people there. And so we got preferential treatment because we had a guide. You need a guide in your life if you are going to be what God has called you to be. You need a guide in your life to get to the destination. That's where we get our word destiny from. If we're going to get to destiny, we need a guide, because I know you think you know, but you don't know like God knows. And the Bible says that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. If you've got a question, if you've got a decision, you ought to slow down and let the Holy Ghost speak to you and speak through you so that you put your feet where they're supposed to be and end up where they're supposed to be. The Holy Ghost. Sometimes something good shows up and the Holy Ghost says, nope, that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Get rid of it. Move along. Don't bring it into your life. Don't bring it into your house. The Holy Ghost is the number one thing that helps us determine. What else helps us determine? Very easy. What is the end result? If you were to say yes to this good thing, look down the road 3 or 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 or 5 months. Is this thing going to help me achieve what God has called me to achieve? If it is not, it's not a good thing. It is a bad thing. The Bible says this, work out your own salvation in trembling. And that means that it's an important decision, salvation is, but that means that some of our borders are different. Some of our guidelines are different. And so there's some things that are good for you that ain't good for me. And there's some things that are good for me that are not good for you. And so when I understand that and somebody says, Brandon, you've got to try this, it's awesome, I have to be able to step back and say, Holy Ghost, is that good for me or just good for them? I pray on it, and then I use a little common sense, and I say, if I were to do that today, how's that going to affect my family? It's amazing to me what decision parents make and never think about how it's going to affect their children. And they have a money grab opportunity at work, and so they will uproot their family and move all the way across the nation, and their kids had just gotten settled in school, had finally made some new friends, had finally gotten involved in kids' church or youth church, and they're going to rip them up, and oh, this is, I'm going to make $40,000 more a year. But you don't know that $40,000 a year in California doesn't really equate to what you were making here or New York. And so we make all these decisions because it's good, and we don't look around at everything else and say, this is not really good because I'm going to get there, and the end result is going to be worse than where I'm standing today. Finally, the way that we can decide those things is, does it pull me away from God or does it push me towards God? I have so many people in my life that ask me, Pastor, I've got an opportunity, but I'm going to have to start missing 2 Sundays a month. Should I make that decision? I don't tell them what to do, but I do tell them what I would do. I wouldn't take a job that pulls me out of church, because anything that I do besides church now becomes God on that day. Oh, it's getting quiet. Don't get quiet. You're in church. The people that are watching by live stream or listen to the podcast later, they're the ones that can get mad. I wouldn't do anything that disrupts my relationship with God. And you say, well, I have a relationship with God away from church. Remember, church is the bride of Christ. You can't say you love God and then treat his wife like trash. This is a relationship. I come here every Sunday and every Wednesday. I put everything else on hold. Why? Because what I'm doing here is pushing me towards where God has called me to be. What I'm doing here is literally establishing the Word of God in my life so I can receive the promises of God. Until you have a foundation of the Word, you don't receive the promises of God. But as for us on a Sunday morning, we could have already been at brunch or lunch, but we said, I'm going to the house of God. Everything else can wait. Why? Because sooner or later, the devil's going to come against me, but because I've been making God decisions, there is a standard available to me that will rise up when I need it. All of that to get to what God showed me. Have you ever felt like everything was going perfect and then the rug gets ripped out from under your feet and you go from living your best life now to having one of the hardest seasons of your life? Can I be honest with you? Mandy and I were talking. We were away from each other for almost 7 days this week. That's probably one of the longest times we've ever been apart in 16 years. And so when we got back together last night, we just talked and talked and talked. And we were talking about things we were praying about, things that happened at camp, things that we're expecting in our families. And our family's been hit hard this week on both sides, her family and my family and our family. And there's part of us that it's very easy to get into the woe is me mentality. And God, I trust you. And I serve you, and I tithe to you, and I show up on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I sing on the praise team, and I serve on the usher team, and I run a camera. It's very easy for us to get to that place, but that's exactly where the devil wants you to be. Because as long as we act like that, no standard can be raised. The only way that a standard is raised is when a person of faith says, I don't like what's happening to me, but I know that there's a God that works through me, and I know what I have on the inside, and so I'm going to grin, and I'm going to fight back with everything I have because I know that this is just a season. And so a lot of times the rug is jerked out from under our feet after a great season. We go into a dry season, and I've always preached it like this, which is partly true, that when God blesses you or brings you to a greater place, that the devil comes against you to knock you back down to the other place. But check this out. Checkmate. How many of you have ever played chess? Well, a lot of us have played chess. How many of you are more of a checker person? I used to play checkers with Sean. Anytime he was about to beat me, I would just knock the whole board over. And then Dad taught me chess, and so we started playing chess, me and Sean and Dad. And my grandpa never liked chess. It was always checkers. But chess, I like chess because there's more strategy in it. And every piece has an identity. And every piece on that board's identity gives them certain moves that they can make. And the most powerful piece on the board is what? The queen. The queen protects. I thought I'd get a better amen from all the ladies out there. Come on now. And so the queen can move any direction, any space. As open as it is, she can move that far on the board. But her job is to break up the attack that is coming against the king. Come on, this might be a marriage sermon. We might have to rework that. And so when people have a line of sight at the king and they move their rook or another piece into play, their bishop, they say, check. Meaning, if you don't fix it, I'm going to kill the king. So you've got one move to fix it. Can I tell somebody in the room today, you've got one move. And if you'll make that move, you're going to fix it. You got one move to make. It's not 12-step program. You got one move to make on this Sunday morning. Can I talk to somebody that you've been asking God for a sign? You've been asking God for a word. Well, I've come to give you that word today. You are one move away from taking the enemy's strategy and throwing it out the window. You are one pray, one high. Somebody needs to raise a hallelujah today. You are one hallelujah away from putting the devil to run in your life. You are one worship encounter away from putting the devil back under your feet. You are one faith declaration away from saying, I know what you're trying to do, but not on my watch, not on my time. But if you don't make the right move, any piece on the board can block you in, and when your opponent says checkmate, it's over. Checkmate means there's no more moves you can make, and the game is over. Can I encourage somebody in the last few moments of this message that the devil does not have the final word or the final move or the final say in your life? There is only one that has the final word. His name is Jesus Christ. The devil is a defeated foe. He's playing with monopoly money. He's playing on credit. He's playing with fake credit cards, and he comes at you with everything. But I serve a God that's got the final say, the final move, the final voice. And so when the devil moves, then God moves, and God always moves bigger. When the devil comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. The standard has to be bigger than the flood. We have problems on our coastlines when hurricanes come through because the waves are bigger than the seawall. And when the waves are bigger than the seawall, the waves come over the standard that had been built. But I'm here to tell you that God knows every move the devil is going to make. The devil's busy playing checkers, but God is a master chessman. And God knows every move he's going to make before he makes it. And so when God gets Michael ready with the standard, when God calls all of the angelic hosts to get the standard ready, before the devil even moves against you or against me in my life, the devil says, we need a standard this big and this tall. Why? Because I know exactly what the devil's trying to do. But the devil knows that I know. And when he comes against Brandon, I've got a standard that's at least 10 times taller than Brandon needs, so that whatever the devil is going to bring against him cannot come over. So this is what we've heard teach and taught, and I've taught this, that when God does something great, the devil does something to undo that greatness. That's not actually so, because God has the final move. And so when God blesses you and then you are immediately attacked, the attack after a blessing, this is going to help somebody. The attack after a blessing has nothing to do with what you were just blessed with, because the devil moves first, not last. If you believe that God blessing you on your job and then you get attacked as a result of what happened on your job, what you're saying is the devil moves last. It's not so. You get a blessing on your job and the devil moves. It has nothing to do with your last blessing. It has to do with your next blessing. Oh, you're going to get it here in just a minute. So when I get blessed and the devil comes against me, I'm not saying, my God, he's trying to take my goods. I'm saying, here he goes moving first again, which means there is a bigger blessing. There is a bigger giant. There is a bigger future. There's something in front of me that's greater. Why? Because he moves first. And then my God shows up with a bigger standard, and that bigger standard is a bigger blessing, all because my God has the enemy in checkmate. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, checkmate. So now, when I get blessed, I look at my watch and say, Mandy, we've been blessed. Get ready, because there's an attack coming that has nothing to do with our last blessing, but it has everything to do with our next blessing. I'm not worried about what I've got behind me. God said, I'll rebuke the devourer. He can't touch this stuff. But now he's trying to keep me from getting to that stuff. And if the devil can ever get your eyes on what God has done only instead of what God is about to do, you dry up and you're stagnant. But this is not that church. If you're in this house, I want to encourage you that God has done great things for you, but there is something greater ahead of you. If you are under attack, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because of where you've been. It's because of what God has promised and where God is taking you. Stand on your feet. Checkmate, checkmate, checkmate. My God moves last. 9:45 in my office. I said, Mandy, come here, come here, come here. I need your help. She said, what do you need? I preached her like 30 seconds of this sermon. I said, I need a good title. And I said, all I can come up with is, my God moves last. And Mandy so matter-of-factly just said, call it checkmate. Because that means there's no more moves. That the king is safe. That the king is on the throne. That there's nothing that has happened that can dethrone him. I'm here to tell you that the adversary has been defeated. And our king is on the throne. And if our king is on the throne, I've got nothing to fret. I've got nothing to worry about. Devil, bring me your best shot. Every time you attack me, you're announcing to me and my family, there is a next in front of you, close to you, that I'm trying to keep you from. Come on, those of you that raised your hand, you're feeling under attack. I'd get to this altar right now. God's getting ready to checkmate. God's getting ready to move. God's getting ready to have the last say. God's getting ready to do the last thing. That word cancer, I've heard it too much the last 8 months. Heard it in my mom, heard it in my brother, heard it in my father-in-law. And cancer, listen. Cancer is not designed by the adversary to steal what you have. Cancer is given to steal and to keep you from where God is getting ready to take you, saying there's something so big, so valuable in front of you, I'm going to do all I can and bring hell against you. So Josh, when all of hell breaks loose in my life, I start looking for God. Where's he at? I know he's coming. I know his move's going to be bigger. And so I praise and raise the standard. I worship and raise the standard. I meditate on the word and raise. I keep giving. I keep serving. It's not based on what God has done. The attack is based on what God is about to do. I'm excited about that. Young lady, you got a great future. You're going to grow up. You're going to change the world. You're going to change the world.